I hope you've got your Bibles. If you have, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9 this morning. Today is the final sermon in our series on personal revival. And I know at times as we've went through this series, there have been moments that probably particularly challenged you. I don't know. You don't have to shake your head, but probably there are. There may be even been times that you were overwhelmed, or maybe you were even discouraged as we went through this series. And here's the reason that is the case. It's because we realize in our lives that there is a big hindrance to the personal revival that we seek. And what is that hindrance to this personal revival that we have talked about? That hindrance today is sin. Okay, that is it. Every one of us at times feels like we're incapable of doing what God wants us to do, or we have messed up at one time or another, and we feel like we're broken, we're unacceptable, or maybe we're even unlovable to God. Consequently, here's what happens with us. We struggle in our relationship with God and in doing His will. I mean, we want to love God, as we talked about, but we know that we fall short. I mean, we want things to be right in our homes, but we have failed in some way. We want to be holy, but seem to be constantly making mistakes. We want to be servants, as Brother Dusty talked about last week, but we feel unworthy to be the kind of servant that God wants. You see, we truly want to be fulfilled in these areas, but unfortunately, we feel like we have so messed things up that there is no hope. Well, I have good news for you today. There is hope, all right? I want you to know that this morning. Now, since this is Dusty's last Sunday with us, I felt compelled to bring a visual aid, okay? Because if there's an area he challenged me, it's this idea of a visual aid and using that when appropriate. And so today I've brought one with me. I brought an eraser. Now, how many of y'all like erasers? Anybody like erasers? Yeah, maybe not these kinds, but everyone is like erasers, right? Because erasers, though they come in many different forms, they really all have a similar purpose. They erase something that has been done, all right, that is wrong, so that something else can be done. For example, I'll just kind of maybe illustrate this morning because we want to know what an eraser does, right? And so I stole this out of Dana's office. I erased what was on it. So sorry, Dana. I hope you've got that later. Let's say we're doing a little math problem. We do 5 plus 4 equals 9. Don't you like my math skills? All right. Let's say we're doing that math problem. Then we realize something. We copy the problem down wrong. It should have been subtraction. That'd be major, right? So don't we wish we can just come and we can erase, we can put a minus and we change it, and now we're right, correct? Isn't that good? How many of y'all like that? Y'all think my math? I put a hard problem because I wanted to really demonstrate my math skills today. But you see, we love these erasers because what they do, again, they give us a chance. When we've messed up, we can erase and we can start again. Whether it's something like that on a board or maybe it's something we've written with a pencil, whatever that is, listen, we are so glad that we can erase it and get a new start. Now, let's think about our lives for a moment, okay? Don't we wish that we could have an eraser for our lives sometimes? Don't we? I mean, we wish there are things in my life that I could erase. Maybe there's something that I wish I could completely erase from my life as if it never happened before. Or maybe there's something that I just like to have a redo on, right? So let's erase it so I can retry it. Well, I've got good news for us today. You want some good news today? Here's some good news. There is something available to us that's better than eraser. There's something that's much better than that. What is that? Here it is. You ready? It is the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? It is much better than this race. You see, I want to end this series on personal revival with you understanding something, that all personal revival hinges on the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Should have been an amen somewhere, okay? Maybe y'all just writing it down, see? As we began our service, this morning, we began singing songs that reminded us that this is Palm Sunday, or the Sunday before Easter. You see, this Sunday remembers when Jesus rode into Jerusalem and the crowds cried out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." They shouted that for this reason. They believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah or Savior that they had been looking for. Their mistake, though, was thinking that Jesus was coming as a conquering warrior. You see, they failed to understand that instead of coming to conquer the world around them, that Jesus was coming instead to give himself as the perfect Lamb of God. They failed to understand that Jesus was going into Jerusalem to shed his blood, not in a war, but he was to shed his blood for the purpose of making available to everyone a fresh start. You see, that's what he wanted to do. They failed to recognize that Jesus was not going to be a savior from the Romans, but instead a savior from an enemy that is much more powerful than the Romans. That he came to be a savior from sin. You hear me? That is the worst enemy that we have is sin. And Jesus came to give his blood to save us from this sin. This morning, what I want you to do, I've asked you to turn to Hebrews chapter 9. If you were to read the entire book of Hebrews, starting in chapter 1, here's what you would realize very quickly. That the author of this letter, as inspired by God, was writing with a clear purpose. He was writing with the purpose to proclaim the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. In fact, let me just read the first four verses of this letter, Hebrews 1, not where I've had you to turn. You can just watch the screen on this one. At the beginning of Hebrews 1, it says this, "Long ago, in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purifications for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs." You see, from the first opening pages, the author is declaring to us the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Here we're told in these verses that I just read that he is superior to angels. But even before that, we were told that he upholds the universe by the word of his power. In other words, Jesus Christ is sufficient, folks, hear me, for every one of our needs. He can take care of every need in our life. Now, as we move into chapter 9, where I've asked you to turn this morning, we read about the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I know. I'm going to talk to you this morning about blood. For many people, that's a gross thing, right? How many of y'all get grossed out by blood? Anybody? I probably should have warned my wife because she hates blood. Yeah, thank you, Dr. Jackson. I'm sure. Yeah, Thad, you're so funny. Get grossed out by blood, right? Anyway, we don't like to think about blood, but let me tell you this. Blood is very important to our lives. Do you understand how important it is? If it wasn't for blood flowing through your veins, then you would not have life. You know that, right? Blood carries out a host of important functions in our body. It carries oxygen and the nutrients that we need to keep living. It transports waste to be removed from the body. It carries the hormones for the body to function properly. It also carries white blood cells, which are important for our immune system. That's especially important now, right? Because I hear flu season is kicked into full gear finally, right? So we need those white blood cells. And so the blood carries out all these functions. It truly is for us a source of life. If we have no blood, we have no life. Now, if you think about blood as relating to life, then it's interesting when you read in Hebrews 9:22 these words. "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood." And look at this. "And without the shedding of blood, there is no" what? "Forgiveness of sins." Think about that. I mean, why is the shedding of blood necessary for the forgiveness of sins? Why is that so? Well, we can begin to answer when we remember what the consequences of sin are. I mean, do you remember what the consequences of sin are? I'm sure for some of you remember the case, but if you've forgotten, let me remind you of Romans 6:23 that says this, "For the wages of sin is death," all right? You see, the consequences of sin is death. This is the way it's been from the very beginning. You know, when God was speaking with the first man, Adam, in Genesis 2, we read this, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the trees of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. You see, what was the consequences of disobedience as stated here by God himself? It was death. You shall surely die, God told Adam. You see, death results from sin. And therefore, since blood flowing through the body gives life, then the shedding of blood brings death. You see, if you have read your Old Testament, you know that early on, God with his people instituted the practice of a sacrifice of a lamb as a substitution for man. In Exodus, if you go back there, when God was delivering his people from captivity in Egypt, he had the people take a lamb without blemish and sacrifice it, and then spread the blood of that lamb on the doorpost of their home. That way, when the death angel came through the land, killing the firstborn in every household, when the death angel saw the blood on the doorpost, what would he do? He would pass over. He would pass by and spare that household the death. You see, we know today, that is even an event today that is still celebrated by the Jews. They celebrate the what? Passover, right? It remembers that God again provided a substitute. That lamb was a substitute for the death of the firstborn, all right? Where the blood was spilled, there was deliverance for the firstborn from death. However, as we think about that first Passover, it was really meant by God to point to a greater reality, that we need deliverance from something greater than the bondage of slavery, but the bondage of sin and the death it brings. That's what we really need deliverance from. It is that sin that's in our life and the death that it brings. Therefore, later we read in Exodus and Leviticus where God instituted the sacrificial system, where the people by faith would offer a blood sacrifice, typically a lamb without blemish, in order for them to find forgiveness. You see, the death of the lamb and the blood shed by that lamb served as a substitute for the death deserved by the one offering the sacrifice. Now, folks, this was such a holy act for God's people that only the high priest could offer that sacrifice on behalf of the people. It is safe to say that that was the most important duty of the Jewish high priest, that he conducted that service on the Day of Atonement, which was the 10th day of the 7th month each year. We can read about that if you want. If you like this stuff, go back to Leviticus 16. You can read about it. You see, only he was allowed to enter the most holy place behind the veil and stand before God. Having first made a sacrifice for himself and then for the people, he brought the blood into the holies of holies and he sprinkled it on the mercy seat, or might we say the throne of God. And he did this to make atonement for himself and for the people for all the sins that they had committed in that year that had just ended. In fact, if you were to read in Hebrews 9 here, verses 1 through 10, and I encourage you to do that today. I don't have time to read the whole chapter. Go back and read it. That is the ritual that is being referred to in the first few verses in Hebrews chapter 9. However, beginning in verse 11, something is made clear, that Jesus made an even greater sacrifice, that he made a superior sacrifice. You see, the point of this chapter is clearly this, that Jesus' sacrifice of himself and the shedding of his blood is what gives us true hope. It is what John the Baptist was declaring about Jesus in John 1:29 when he said, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, what? The Lamb of God who does what? Who takes away the sin of the world. Now, granted, as I share that with you this morning, some of you will say, well, I already knew that, Brother Scott, before I came here today. I understand that. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to look and see how important the blood of Jesus is to us today. Look with me, beginning here now in verse 11. If you're turned there, listen to what these scriptures says. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and the more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means, look, of his own blood, thus securing and what? And a what? And eternal redemption. You know, see, these verses point us to the problem with the sacrificial system, where an earthly priest offered up a goat and a calf to sacrifice. The problem was these sacrifices were not perfect. In fact, the high priest himself was a sinful man. And so the one offering the sacrifice, he himself was sinful. He needed to be forgiven. Also, think about this. No matter how pure a goat or a calf is, it's still not a perfect sacrifice. You see, all these sacrifices had to be made yearly because they were not perfect. But the difference with Jesus Christ was this, that he was perfect in every way. First, we can know this, that he was God in flesh. He was truly holy. Then as we read about his life, he walked on this earth in flesh, and he did so, folks, without sin. He was perfect. Therefore, when he offered himself up, when he shed his blood, it was a sacrifice that was perfect and could completely pay for sin once and for all. In Hebrews 10, it makes this point clear when we read, "And every high priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices," look at this, "which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering," look at this, "he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." Let me read that again. All right. "For by a single offering, he has perfected for all times those who are being sanctified." See, I hope you hear that. Again, he has perfected for all times those who are being sanctified. It didn't say perfect them for a few moments or for a few days, but he has perfected them for how long? All time. Again, if we go back to chapter 9, verse 12, we read this a while ago. "He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption." And I want you to make it clear this morning. This is what I want you to get, all right? But I'm going to put it to you this way. Jesus Christ offers to you an eternal forgiveness of sin. All right? I want you to catch that. He offers to you this morning an eternal forgiveness of sin. And to make sure it's clear, I'm even going to say it this way to you. Jesus Christ can take care of your past. All right? Now, remember when I started today, I talked about this eraser, right? Y'all haven't forgotten already, have you? I talked about this eraser and how we said we'd all like to have an eraser for our life sometimes. Well, Jesus Christ, in a way, was our eraser, all right, for life. That's what he has done. He is the one who can offer you forgiveness of your past failures. You know, you can try many things and many ways to find forgiveness, but the only way is through a faith in Jesus Christ. You know, you can try to make up for your sin by living a good life. You can try to make up for your sin by being religious. You can try to make up for your sin by helping others. But I am here to tell you that all your own attempts are empty and they can only bring you temporary relief. Okay? I mean, you might feel a little better about yourself if you do some of these good things, but I'm here to tell you they will never last. You see, only the blood of Jesus can offer you true and lasting forgiveness of sin. Only Jesus Christ, folks, here today, can take care of your past. Now, think about how great that is. God offers you forgiveness and not temporary forgiveness. He offers you eternal forgiveness. Can I ask you, is that an awesome thought to you? Yes or no? It's an awesome thought to me. I mean, it should be to you. Some I know have come this morning. Here's the reality. You have come here this morning beaten up by your past. You've come here this morning ever reminded of your failures. You've come this morning feeling maybe worthless and hopeless, but I'm here to tell you that in Jesus Christ, you can have a new start. You can be free from that past because Jesus Christ offers forgiveness to you. Thank you for a few that said amen, all right? the Apostle Paul proclaimed about Jesus in Acts 13 this: "Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man," he's talking about Jesus, "forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses." See, hear me clearly this morning. Your personal revival begins with a faith in Jesus Christ that brings eternal forgiveness of your sins. I want to ask this morning, can I ask this question? Have you ever truly placed your faith in Jesus Christ? I mean, can you say today that you have asked God to forgive you of your sins and by faith asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and take control? If not, here's what I'm going to say. Today is the day to do it. Today is the day to begin your walk with Jesus Christ. Because, folks, I'm here to tell you, only Jesus Christ can give you eternal forgiveness of your sins. And so if you haven't put your faith in him, today again is the day to do that. Now, here's what I know. Having eternal forgiveness is great. But remember, I told you that Jesus Christ is better than an eraser, did I not? Y'all hear me say that earlier? Jesus Christ is better than this eraser. I just want to make sure you got it, all right? He truly is. You know, when I think about eraser, here's what I know. If I use an eraser, there's always residue. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, I can erase that, but when I look, there's still spots. And when I look at my eraser, guess what's on that? There's residue, is there not? It leaves it behind. I should have brought a chalkboard this morning, should I not? Because how many of you ever used a chalkboard? What happens with a chalkboard when you erase it? I mean, it just smears, right? And you just got white dust that's everywhere. It always leaves this residue. How many of you have ever used a pencil and you take that and you erase your paper with that pencil? What happens? I mean, does it ever really completely get gone? No, right? There is always something that is left behind. You see, when I think about this, when I think about what eraser leaves behind, I think many of us feel the same way about our sin. Mm-hmm. Right? We feel that way about our sin. Maybe we think, you know, I've sought forgiveness, and we even believe that we have been forgiven, but it's like we have residue left behind. Right? And here's what we do. We let that residue in our lives weigh us down. Well, let's read a little bit more in Hebrews 9, can we? Let's see what Jesus offers back in verse 13. "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh," look at this, "how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, look at this, purify our conscience from the dead works to serve the living God." Think about this. The believers who at one time used to offer sacrifices for sin, I'm sure got a measure of relief knowing that they had done what God had asked them to do for forgiveness. However, they must have surely still been left wanting in many ways, just as people today who do religious rituals find themselves wanting. But here's what we are told, that something is greater is offered to us. Here's what we are told, that Jesus Christ offers, look at this, a purified conscience and a life of serving him. All right? In fact, let me go ahead, like I clarified the first point. Let me clarify this point. Here's what I would say to you. Jesus Christ can take care of your present. Okay? This is good news, is it not? He can take care of our past, but he can take care of his present. I love this because if we are all honest, it is often our conscience that weighs us down. Right? I know I have a hard time saying that word, right? Conscience. Was that better? Did I get it at the time? Thank you. I'm glad I got it at the time, right? We might understand that God has forgiven us, but we still carry with us what we have done. And because we still feel guilty, we often fail to serve God. In fact, I believe it is often our feelings of guilt that lead us to fail again, because we often already feel like failures, so we think to ourselves, what's it going to hurt if I just fail again? Because I already feel like a failure, right? I'm not lying here, am I? Isn't that true? That's what we are, all right? We think we can't feel any worse, so what does it matter? But here's what we are told, that in Jesus Christ, catch this, he can purify our conscience. All right, when a person truly by faith in Jesus finds forgiveness of past sins, can I go ahead and say this? They don't have to feel guilty anymore. That's good news. Amen? They don't. Oh, people may try to make you remember. There are probably people in your life that try to make you remember where you failed, right? Yes? Okay? People may, right? But a person, catch me. A person who truly knows Jesus Christ doesn't have to feel that way because Jesus can make your conscience clear. He purifies our conscience. And here's where many people have made a mistake. All right, here's what they've done. They have relied on dead works rather than Jesus. You see, the dead works referred to here in this passage is most likely the rituals of the sacrificial system. See, though we don't sacrifice animals today and have those dead works in our life, some people take the Lord's Supper and say this, Jesus died for my sin, that's great. But they don't find peace because the ritual of the Lord's Supper is dead apart from faith in Jesus Christ. You with me? Some even go into the baptismal waters thinking, Jesus died for me, and this is great, so I'll get baptized in his name, but they don't find peace. Why? Because even baptism apart from faith in Jesus Christ is a dead work. Okay. Now with Jesus, hear me. Now with Jesus, the Lord's Supper has a huge meaning for us, right? I mean, when I take the Lord's Supper, I think, wow, what Jesus did for me, amazing, because I could not do this on my own, but he gave his life for me. And so when I celebrate the Lord's Supper, it's an amazing thing when you have a faith in Jesus Christ. For a person who goes into the baptismal waters and they understand that they're dependent upon the faith of Jesus Christ, baptism is a huge step in their life. And what it does to them is an amazing thing when they have faith in Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you, apart from that, they are empty. But when you know Jesus Christ, they are powerful. Because what does Jesus do? He not only forgives of sin, but listen, he purifies our conscience. See, I even appreciate the words of 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Look at this. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has... Do you hear that? Do you hear that? If you're in Christ, you are made new. New. Completely new. If you're dealing with your past and you are letting it bother you, know this, that in Jesus Christ, you don't have to let it bother you because, listen, in Christ, he can take care of that past once and for all. You can be a new creation in Christ. Therefore, your conscience today can be truly made pure in Jesus Christ. Now, I do want you to notice something, though. Jesus doesn't just purify our conscience so that we can feel good, okay? He wants our conscience clear, hear me, so that we can serve him in the present. Look at what it said again. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to do what? Serve the living God. In other words, the Lord purifies us so that we can serve him, so that we can live our life for him. You see, if you look at your past and say, God can never use me with all that I have done, I'm here to tell you, you have failed to understand what is available to you in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ can forgive you so that eternally you can be forgiven and live in heaven someday. But more than that, he cleanses you so that you are usable again. It is as if he has taken an eraser to your life and he said, let's start again. I give you a fresh start. Let's go at it. You see, I've cleansed you from that past. Now go and live for me. Live your life for the glory of Jesus Christ. And in him, that is what he offers to you. See, we can even go into chapter 10 again where we're told this. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, look, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of our faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Amen, right? And our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. And look at this. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. See, we're told here that we can even help others live for God with this clear conscience we've received. Amen? Isn't that good news? We can stir them up to love and good works. In fact, here's what I found. Many times, those who have made mistakes in life and who found forgiveness in Jesus are the best ones to help others find Jesus who are in a similar situation as they were. Right? You know what I'm talking about? And here's what you'll find. That if you will let Jesus forgive you and clear your conscience to the point that you begin to serve Him, here's what I believe happens. You will find a personal revival in your life because there is nothing quite like serving the living God with your life. Amen? And something great will happen when you let Him work in you. Now, with that said, I have to share one more thing about the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus before I close. We're going to find that at the end of chapter 9, so look at it with me again as I read. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin. Look at this. Not to deal with sin. Jesus is coming again. Not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. You should say hallelujah, right? Listen when I tell you this. Jesus Christ offers to you the assurance of eternal salvation. All right? And so I follow suit with my first two points. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. Jesus Christ can take care of your future. All right? You should have figured that one was coming, right? If truly you are in Jesus Christ and you've experienced through His blood, all right, this forgiveness, then you can look forward to a day when Jesus returns. And listen. You can look forward to a day when Jesus returns and you not worry about the judgment that is coming. Okay? You hear me? Because Jesus will give you on that day eternal salvation. A salvation that is complete. See, even in the present, here's what I know. I know this. I know I've been forgiven and I have a conscience that's clear, that's been completely cleaned to serve God. I know that. He's taking care of that. But I still deal with this reality that I'm not perfect. Right? We all could raise our hand and say, that's me. I know there's times that I still have to go to God and say, Lord, forgive me. I messed up today. Lord, forgive me. I'm thankful that He continues to forgive. Amen? Now, that can cause me stress as I worry about my future. But can I say, instead of that, here's what I know I can do. Do you think I have to worry about my future? No, why? Because I can look forward to my future knowing this, that someday I'm going to experience the fullness of the salvation that Jesus has already brought to me. There's a day coming for a believer, for those who believe in Jesus Christ, that we're going to be saved from the limitations of this old body. You see, Jesus is not coming again to deal with the sins of those who know Him because He's already dealt with that sin on the cross. Right? What's He going to do on that day for those who know Him? He's coming again to give them what they have been eagerly awaiting for, as it says. He is coming again to bring with them completely and fully the salvation that they have been waiting for. You see, I know coming today is this eternal salvation that God is offering to me when one day I will be perfect. Are you looking forward to that day? Right? I know I am looking for today. You see, that joy is available to everyone who has experienced the blood of Jesus Christ. And here's what I know. Sometimes when I get down, when I can step back and remember this, when I step back and say, look, here's what I know. Jesus has forgiven me of my sin. He's taken care of my past. In the presence, I know he's even been able to clear my conscience. I don't have to feel guilty about that anymore. And I know this today. I'm looking forward. He says someday this imperfection that's in me, it's going to be gone. And I have a perfect salvation coming. I have an eternal salvation awaiting for me. In those moments when I get down, I can stop and I can begin to rejoice. And I can have a personal revival in that moment because I remember what Jesus Christ has done for me. And I'm ready to stand up and shout hallelujah. Does that make sense? Y'all with me today? You see, that is available to all of us. In fact, with that said, I'm brought to a place where I have to ask a few questions. This morning, do you need a personal revival? Did you come here this morning with a past that's been weighing you down? Have you come here with a past that you wish that you could forget, but more than anything else, a past that you need forgiveness for? If so, here's what I ask you to do today. I ask you to turn to Jesus Christ and find the forgiveness that only He can bring. See, today I ask, have you ever turned to Jesus Christ by faith and receive the forgiveness that only He can bring? If not, here's what I want to ask today. When we give an invitation in a few moments, I'm going to invite you to come and to give your heart to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to come and say, Lord, here's what I know. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I have failed. God, You know my past. But today I'm coming confessing something, that You shed Your blood on a cross for me, that the perfect Lamb of God took the death that I deserved. He let His blood shed and He died, so that I would not have to die. And by faith say, Lord, I trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I invite Him to come in, to forgive me and to cleanse me and to give me the forgiveness that I truly need. And I ask Him to take control. If you've never done that, listen, I'm telling you, personal revival for you begins as you give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. But now let me ask this question to others. Do you need a personal revival today by fully understanding what Jesus has offered to you? Maybe today you would come and say, I'm a believer. I sought forgiveness, and I believe God has given me that forgiveness. But maybe you had never fully understood that what God really wants to offer to you is a purified conscience today. And what you've been doing, even as a believer, you've been carrying all this guilt in your life. Well, why not today, once and for all, even maybe come to this altar and just say, God, today I'm so thankful that I understand this more fully today. And today, God, what I am doing, I am laying my guilt at this altar once and for all, because this is what I know. In Jesus Christ, You have forgiven me, and I don't need to carry this guilt anymore. Because here's what you'll discover, that if you'll lay that guilty conscience at this altar today, that God can free you to serve Him, all right? To serve the living God on a daily basis, because that weight is holding you down no more, and you're free to fully live for God. And so that even if people of your past look back and say, I remember what you did, you can say, that's okay, but I know I don't have to remember it because Jesus Christ has taken care of it. And you don't even have to let what others say to you weigh you down, because God's opinion is the only one that matters. So maybe some of you need to come this morning and just say, Lord, I want to thank You. I want to thank You for that. And I lay my guilt down this morning at this altar. Or maybe for some, it's just simply you doing this. Maybe you've come this morning and you've carried some doubts about the future. Maybe since you gave your life to Christ and even got cleansed of your past, maybe you failed a time or two and you're worried about that. I got news for you. Jesus Christ still has your future right there in His hand. And maybe you need to come this morning and say, oh, God, I do need forgiveness. But Lord, I'm thankful today that You've got my future in control. And God, I want to praise You, and I just want to rejoice in You, that You have an eternal salvation waiting for me, that You've made it secure. So and even though today, even though I've stumbled a little bit, I've tripped my toe just a little bit, God, I don't have to let it weigh me down, because I know You have everything under control. And just rejoice in His goodness this morning. Do you need that today? I'm just simply asking if you need a personal revival this morning. When we have an invitation, let that personal revival begin today. Will you? Would you pray with me? Father, as we bow into Your presence today, I thank You for the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful, Father, that even though we were incapable of our own, of even drawing near to You and finding forgiveness of sin, that, Lord, You've taken care of it today through Jesus. And I pray as we come to this invitation that people, Lord, would come to a reality of what You have done for them. For some, for the first time, God, just to give their life to you and find forgiveness of their sin, to have their past dealt with, Father. If that's them, I pray they come. Some, just to get rid of that guilty conscience because they've still been carrying it, even though they know you. And I pray today some would go deeper with you and realize they don't have to carry that guilt anymore. They just lay it down at this altar today. And then for all of us, Lord, who know you, I pray today that we would just rejoice that you have our future under control. And that, Father, we have a complete salvation to look forward to someday. Lord, I know I'm thankful for that. Lord, that keeps me pressing on in the days when I feel so unworthy. I'm reminded that, listen, the best is yet to come. And so, God, I pray today, if nothing else, we would experience a personal revival just rejoicing in what is still to come. And so, bless this invitation, Father. As we sing about that blood today, Lord, I pray that we would take hold of it, take hold of the truth of that blood, and today begin to walk in that truth. And, Father, as I pray these things, I pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.